quite an adventure in Rice County last Thursday evening and early evening, and a lot of damage. We talked all about the damage with a lot of people yesterday on the Wayne Eddy affair. But today I have the sheriff of Rice County, and that's Mr. Troy Dunn. Hello, Troy. Thank you for coming.
Good morning, Wayne. Thanks for having me on.
I know that you must have been busier than heck, as they say, starting Thursday. Number one, let's talk about the warning system in place.
Yeah, it worked great. I was actually headed to a meeting in Owatonna, and as I was getting to the destination in Owatonna, my weather alert system went off, and simultaneously, Rice County Dispatch said, we have a tornado warning that we're going to be putting into effect coming from Waseca County. And, you know, we weren't in a tornado watch or anything like that. So this came up quick. They activated the sirens countywide, which we don't normally do. Usually it's a concentrated area. But when I pulled up the storm and saw that it was rather large, yeah, we said, let's err on the side of caution and put the sirens on throughout the whole county. I responded back to the county and kind of came through Medford and then into the county south of Medford. And then the storm was just entering Morristown when I was approximately 3 miles away. And I drove up and I had to actually stop on our County Road 15 because the visibility was zero. The winds were coming up. I said, well, I don't want to be taken out of commission here, so I found what I thought was the safest spot. No power poles by me, no trees or anything like that. Kind of rode it out for 90 seconds. All I can say, it was heavy winds and rain. I couldn't see a tornado. It was very dark. And then when it kind of subsided, I started to creep forward, and approximately 30, 40 yards in front of me, the whole road is blocked. Trees and power lines down across the road. So there I was. I couldn't make it to Morristown. We had 911s coming in. Tree limbs through a house and things like that. And so I had to actually go south and then come in from the south and work my way around it. But again, I encountered more road blockages and things. But when I got into Morristown, pulled up to the first residence and I saw the top floors completely gone, and I see a person that appears to be either picking something up. So I pulled in there, and here it was a son pulling his mother out of the basement
after
the storm. So they didn't have a scratch on them. They made it into the basement and lost their top level of their house. I took them to the community center in Morristown where we set up for our staging area. We ended up opening the EOC there, as well as an EOC in Faribault and at the sheriff's office. And from then it was just a blur for, you know, the next about 72 hours.
Did you hear that thing go by?
I did not hear it, but my radio was chattering, you know, constantly. But I talked to a number of people that, you know, they said they've heard it sounds like a train. It did sound like a train, and it was like a thumping noise along with that train sound. And, you know, it was just amazing that, again, nobody was seriously injured or killed in that after I saw the destruction that it left behind. And the fire department did a phenomenal job in Morristown, and then continued on through Warsaw, Faribault, and up towards Northfield here as well. And it was like the fire pagers were just going off constantly. Calls for services, and semis rolled over on the interstate on Highway 3 as well. And again, very minor injuries on those crashes, so that was great. And it was something else. And we called for mutual aid.
Before you go any further, because we can go into detail,
sure.
But I have to tell you what happened at my house.
Okay.
I was watching the news on television,
mm-hmm.
and then you know how they have that beep, beep,
yep.
And this is a test for the next
year.
And so it's doing the beep, beep, beep thing. In the meantime, I'm looking outside, and it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
And I'm upstairs
sure.
in the bedroom
yep.
and next to a patio door.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, you know, what's going on? Then my phone went off.
Yep.
And I'm looking outside, and the stuff is swirling around.
Yep.
And I can hear things hitting the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then a tree started falling down. And I was between the patio door and the bed,
mm-hmm.
and I went to get out. I can't run very well.
Yeah.
I ended up bumping into the bed and falling on the bed, and the tree, the very tippy top of the tree, was up against the patio door.
Sure.
And when I opened it, it fell in.
Oh.
So, and it broke halfway up. So
okay.
I'm very lucky.
Very
there.
Lucky.
But somebody asked me if it sounded like a freight train.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what it sounded like, and I hope, folks, you can understand that. Do you have a patio door in your
yes.
home? Have you ever opened that
yep.
when it's dead silent?
Yes.
And you hear a whoosh.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Okay.
And I thought it was a patio door, and I yell out, who's here?
Yeah.
Because the weather's going nuts, and
yeah.
I thought maybe a neighbor had come over. My wife was home. She worked in Owatonna
yep.
and fought the storm all the way up.
Sure.
Trying to get home. She never made it because
yeah.
of downed trees.
Yeah.
I mean, she made it, but not with a car.
Yeah.
So that's the sound that I heard.
Okay.
And it sounds like something that you heard, too, was that whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a really loud, you know, whooshing sound and you know, heavy rain and... yeah, it was nothing I've experienced. I've seen some small twisters come through the county in my career, but this was definitely the biggest. And you know, I in those first few moments when I rolled into Morristown, and then I worked my way northeast, you know, through the county, I was just like, I cannot believe we don't have any casualties here.
Yeah, tell me in a little more detail, if you will, about the. The son pulling the mom out of the basement.
Okay.
You must have been there just seconds after that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably, you know, I would say within 5 minutes of, you know, when I was able to drive and get up there. And, you know, the first thing she did is I said, are you guys okay? Is there anybody else in the house? And they said, nope, it's just us. And she just stood up and she hugged her son and she hugged me. And she said, we just made it into the basement. And then, you know, we just heard destruction, and it sounded like a train going over us, and she said it was just a steady pounding, you know, along with that train sound. And so it got them to the community center, started responding to other calls, checking on houses, and you know, people were just in the streets making sure everybody was okay, everybody was accounted for. And then it was, you know, decided we need to, you know, set up a triage area. The only place actually in Morristown that had a generator was their community center. So that worked out great. The generator did what it was supposed to. And, you know, you train for these things. And we actually did a training scenario with Morristown, Faribault, Waseca, Waterville, Kilkenny, and then North Ambulance. And, I believe Northfield Ambulance came down as well, and it was a tornado hitting Morristown. We did that approximately 18 to 24 months ago.
Wow.
And we had a lot more victims, but everybody said because we did that training, things just clicked. But they talk about things, okay, you're going to call for mutual aid. So they called for Waterville. They couldn't make it. Waterville got hit. They called for Medford and Waseca. They had Janesville and Medford get hit. They couldn't respond. So I called out. I did an all call for deputies to come in to help. I had four deputies that couldn't get out of their own driveway. They were trapped because they had trees down. You know, so
this is in the training session?
No, this was what happened Thursday night.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
And but they talk about that in scenarios. They said, well, if it hits another jurisdiction, they can't come. So, you know, you have to have a plan B and C. Well, Faribault just happened to have a training night where all of their firefighters were in for training. And then Faribault ended up getting hit. But yet, you know, they have, I think, 9 full-time and 24 part-time. And they were able to said, if you need resources, we've got help. We can send it over.
It's interesting that you mentioned the son and the mother in the basement, and they just barely made it in the basement.
Right.
I'm going to show you something. But before I show it to you, years ago, mm-hmm. there was a tornado that went through town on the northeast side particularly, mm-hmm. and we were on the air
yep.
telling, warning people.
Right.
You know, I'd seen them come by the radio station, by the way.
Wow.
And we were telling people, you know, the rules, get away from the glass, get down in the basement, blah, blah, blah. And this woman, I went out and looked at the destruction, and this woman said that the kids were watching cartoons on TV,
mm-hmm.
and she was listening to the radio in the kitchen. And the KYMN goes on and says, get down the basement. And
right.
so, she said, well, this sounds pretty serious. Kids,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah.
She said that she got them to go down the basement and had a tough time closing the door.
Sure.
And when it was over with, they went upstairs, and a huge tree fell through the roof right onto the couch where the kids were sitting.
Oh.
And here's what I did in 19... Well, I'll show this to you. I kind of found this. You want to read that out loud?
I survived the storm July 27th, 1987. Silos moved in 65-mile-an-hour winds. Trees slices home in half, hundreds of trees down, wind victims,
well,
field in the dark.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to read some of it,
yes.
but that day, thank you to Rocky Top Screen Printing.
Yeah.
I went down there that night and said, print these up.
Okay.
And they printed up a whole bunch of them.
Awesome.
And then the next day, I went out to that home, for example, and I gave out T-shirts
mm-hmm.
to the people that were helping
mm-hmm.
and other places that got hit.
Right.
And I don't know how many people still have those T-shirts,
yeah.
but I just happened to find that the other day.
That's pretty cool.
And that was not. That's why, by the way, folks, that's why I was playing 1987 music.
Ah.
I played the top 25
yeah.
tunes.
I was listening
oh,
on the
okay.
way up from the county board meeting.
Yeah, and that was the reason why I wanted
okay.
to wait until then. So let's continue the saga. It is 8 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is a very busy sheriff, Rice County Sheriff, and that is Troy Dunn. And by the way, Troy, I got that nice, good-looking, official-looking certificate from you.
Well, you bet. Thanks, Wayne.
Well,
appreciate that.
Well, thank you. It's nice enough to frame.
Oh, good.
And
yes.
I'm sorry I couldn't make that meeting.
That's all right.
So anyhow, there you are in Morristown,
mm-hmm.
and the radio's crackling.
Yeah.
People want you. You want people.
Yeah.
They're crosstalk, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you don't know where it went after Morristown.
Right.
So how long did you stay in Morristown?
I was in Morristown till I believe it was 11 o'clock.
Wow.
And then once we kind of had things stabilized there, I started moving my way. You know, I checked Warsaw. We had some damage there. Nothing significant. I mean, no destruction like we had in Morristown. A lot of trees down, power lines down, some sheds destroyed, some trees on houses and cars. But, you know, nothing significant, no gas leaks or anything like that. And then, you know, I'm hearing on the radio, Faribault Airport took a direct hit. Well, I live less than a mile away from the Faribault Airport. And so at you know, some point in time, I'm thinking, I told my wife,
uh-oh.
You know, get in the basement, and she did. And so they went down there. We lost power, and I checked in, and she says, we have three trees down on the back. They're brushing up against the house. I don't, you know, see any damage or anything like that. And so when I rolled into the house about 2:30 in the morning, the following morning, to get a couple hours of sleep, there she is in the basement with the dog sleeping with candles, and
yep.
and you know, she was safe, and that was great. But I just yesterday was able to get out in my yard yesterday afternoon and clean up the debris in my yard, so with some help from fellow workers and co-workers.
The joke at our house was that it had been a long time since my wife and I had a candlelight dinner. But
yeah.
It's funny, you scurry for those candles.
And, oh, yeah, and flashlights. She's like,
yeah.
I know you had flashlights, but try to find them in the dark.
Exactly. I didn't know where one was, and I did get to use that. Speaking about the airport, my neighbor has a plane that he, docks, stores, whatever you say.
Yep.
He has a plane there.
Right.
And he said there was a lot of damage on part of the airport, but not the hangar that he has his plane
He's in. One of the lucky ones, yeah. I mean, and some of those hangars are totally destroyed, and some of the... The destruction out there, you know, unfortunately, North Ambulance lost their helicopter. They based one of their helicopters out of the Faribault Airport, which was great for Rice County and the surrounding areas to have a helicopter that close for medicals and traumas and such. But they, because of the construction they were doing there and they were tearing up the road in front of the hangar, they had to move it into the main hangar at the airport, and that's was the most severely damaged. So there's beams down on top of the helicopter, and I don't think it's going to be salvageable. But another story of a lucky officer. So they Faribault sergeants directing people to certain areas, and he directed one of his officers, says, go to the airport and monitor it. And as he gets out by the airport, he just sees this black, it's coming, and stuff starting to spin around in the sky. And he says, this is not good. So he remembered from his field training, when he went through his field training, and I want to say that was well over 10 years ago, that if you're in this area, the safest place to be is in the airport hangar. It's open 24/7 at the main hangar and in the bathroom, because that's where the infrastructure. So he gets in there, the door slams shut behind him, gets in the bathroom, and he just hears this god-awful howling and roaring and everything else. And he said he just sat there and wrote it out, and says, they're doing a status check. He says, I'm in the middle of this. I can't see anything. And it clears. And here, the hangar, everything collapsed around him except for the office area and the bathroom area stood up and was fine, and he was able to walk out of there. His squad car sustained some pretty significant damage, flying debris hitting it and such, but was still operable, and he was able to use it, but they're going to have a pretty hefty bill. But he is so lucky that he got in, you know, and had some of those objects, you know, flown and hit him outside when he's in a squad car. It could have been way different. But, yeah, planes are flipped upside down. There was a gas line rupture out there. It was pretty destructive. Pieces of the hangars were on Highway 21.
Wow.
And, still in the median and in the trees there. They're still working on that cleanup. The fence was destroyed. Yeah, it was just crazy. And then it kind of clipped the industrial park in Faribault, continued, after it hit Roberts Lake, it hit the airport, continued north, hit the area around Metcon Construction on Baseline Road, that area, and a lot of structural damage up there. Came, you know, kind of around Dundas and then the southeast portion of Northfield, and then, of course, east of Northfield by the Red Barn Farm and Fargaze Farms, pretty significant damage out there as well. And then there was another tornado separate from that one that hit down around Walcott and Richland Township, and it affected three big farms, Donkers Farms, did significant damage there. But that was separate from these tornadoes that were kind of coming up through. It almost dissected the county at an angle as it came up in the southwest part of the county and to the northeast. But then, you know, we had pockets of this small tornado over by Walcott. So
I have a photo that I want to show you, see if you have seen this. Have you seen this photo?
Nope, I had not seen that one yet.
Describe that.
It looks like, almost looks like four twisters right next to each other.
Yep.
That's, and where was that one taken?
That was taken in Cannon Falls, in towards Northfield.
Wow.
And there, folks, this picture is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know how to post things and stuff. Maybe
sure.
A lot of people have seen it, but that picture is scary.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, it's just four tornadoes side by side.
Yep.
And that's the way it kind of split up when it came through here, because, like
right.
You said, it hit this but not that, and
yeah.
This but not that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And by the way, are you taking a lot of pictures of me?
I'm not taking any yet. So.
Oh, well, your flash.
Oh, that's my alert, so it doesn't beep. So it flashes when I have messages.
Oh, well, so it's busy.
Yeah, it's busy, but no emergencies, no 911s yet, so we're
okay.
Good.
All right. All right.
It's
10:16, and my guest this morning is Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn. And Troy Dunn, by the way, I was thinking the other day, how many years you been our sheriff now?
8 years now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, started 31 years in law enforcement, and next year I'll have 30 just in Rice County, so...
And I met you in Webster during Webster Harvest
yes.
Day, and you bought a pie.
Yes, I did.
And I think you paid like $35 for it.
I want to say 30, yeah, probably.
And I remember I was being so cute about bidding it up, and then Troy, are you done? Done's done. I thought that you've heard that 1,000 times and all that.
Yep.
And then I think I met your sister at the depot.
Yep.
Would that be right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, of course, I have an opportunity to help out at the Rice County Fair mm-hmm. and other things like that.
Yep, and parades.
Did you ever hear about the Henderson story?
I didn't hear the Henderson story.
Well, remember we were scheduled to go to Henderson?
Yep.
And it rained and it poured and it thundered and all that. And I'm all the way over there and I get to the main drag that goes into town and the bridge is out.
Oh.
Now, try to get into downtown Henderson outside of that main road, whatever that is, the one that goes down the valley.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time finding it, and I finally got a way to get across the river,
mm-hmm.
and then it was up to the road.
Okay.
Went into Henderson. The parade was going on. It was raining, and I showed up, and one of the parade ladies said, well, your unit number such and such, and I went over there, and she came over about 20 minutes, half hour later, and says, are you the only one? I said, yes, but I'll be a good representative.
Yeah.
So I had the whole... by myself.
Yeah. You
know, and I kept yelling at you, Troy Dunn's our sheriff.
Yeah.
Troy Dunn's our sheriff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody else was smart enough to stay home because it was a big storm.
Yeah. I'm always nervous about riding the cycle in inclement weather. So you get the star for the day for that one because you made it.
Yeah.
I hope you had your water wings on, though.
I did have my water wings and my little stick, you know, but... it wasn't windy. It was just warm rain, so it wasn't that bad at all.
Okay.
So you learn about Morristown. You're working your way. You get to the airport a mile mm-hmm. from where you live. And when did you start hearing about Northfield and Bridgewater Township?
I started hearing the fire pagers going off. And I think I said earlier, I did an all call for my staff to come in. And then we started assigning deputies to certain portions of the county. So normally on a night shift, you know, you have three or four deputies working for the whole county. Well, you know, when this storm hit Morristown, we contract with Morristown, and on that specific night we didn't have a Morristown deputy working. So that first couple deputies coming over, I said, I'm in that area. I tell the sergeant, I said, you stay, you know, north for other calls and things like that. But then when we saw the magnitude of the damage, I did the all call for, you know, all deputies available to come in. And so then we started putting them in central part of the county and the northern part of the county. So you had four deputies down in the south, four in the central, and four in the north. And then I started hearing the calls for service and the Northfield fire pagers going out, near Strand fire pager going out. And, you know, it was... Most of them were like power lines down on trees or starting on fire. There was a couple crashes reported, things like that. And so I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to stay here. We got the EOC going, getting everything going in Morristown for, you know, because we expected to have a number of people that couldn't stay in their house because their house were just obliterated by the tornado. And so we're setting up staging at the fire hall and at the community center, calling for Salvation Army and Red Cross to come in and help, and calling in additional ambulances because we didn't know what we were going to have for staffing. So, and injuries. So it just, you know, the training worked, and we broke the county up into portions, and we had deputies able to respond to everything that could get in. My chief deputy said, 4 hours later, he says, I've cut my way out of my driveway. I still can't get in because the township road is blocked. So I told him, I said, you just come in the morning. I said, I'm going to stay on tonight, and had a lieutenant in as well to help. So that's how we went with it. One of my staff lives in Morristown, lost her home. So she is, you know, I talked to her, made sure her and her family were okay. And to hear the story of, you know, she's going into the house, and as they go in the basement, the windows kind of implode, and they're in an area kind of protected away from that. And then she said it just felt like a big whoosh in there. And what it did is it blew in, and then it blew out the whole side of the house. Just it's gone, exposing the whole outside of her house. The deck was picked up, moved to the neighbor's house, landing on their roof. You know, and if you look at the damage, you see these garage doors just bowed out or blown out. And they said that, you know, the storm hit, it blew into the house, and then it just caused a suction and then blew things out, blew roofs up. It was just, you know, you see it on TV where storms hit, but to see it actually in person and to smell the gas in the air and like, okay, we got to get the fire department here. We got to get the utility companies in here to shut this gas off, and power lines down everywhere. And, you know, XL and the other utility companies, Steel Waseca, they did a great job, but it takes time to get those resources in there. And then you have multiple areas of your, you know, you can't handle it with just, you know, your 10 or 12 trucks that you have in the county or whatever that number is. But I know that I only, you know, saw one or two XL Energy trucks in Morristown before I left. And, you know, I'm just like, where are they? But then when you're thinking that it's just moved its way all the way across the county, and there's multiple areas down, there's power lines down, they can't get in. You know, County Road 15 was blocked for 48 hours before we could even access.
Where exactly is County Road 15?
15 is east-west road that comes in on the, so it would come into Morristown on the east side, and it goes all the way over to
is that
County
south?
Road 45. Yeah, it's on the south end of the county, approximately 2 miles north of the county line. The right
south of 60.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it runs parallel with the Steel Waseca County line, and it's about 2 miles north, and okay, it runs east west. So that's a main thoroughfare, and then your other main ways into Morristown would be County Road 16 coming in from the south. That was blocked with utility poles and trees, and that's kind of the back road. People call it the back road to Waseca. And then Highway 60, and you had trees and power poles down on 60. So what we ended up doing in Morristown is we pretty much set up a perimeter around Morristown to keep people out, because you have all these people wanting to come in, and it's not safe. We got hot power lines and things like that. And then we ended up putting a curfew in, so nobody was allowed outside of their home from 10 p.m. till 6:30 in the morning. We didn't want people working on their house and getting hurt. We didn't want people coming in and sawing and stuff, you know, after all of this. And we didn't want looting, and that was a big concern because we had no power. It is dark. The only thing is the headlights and your flashlights and things like that. You know, the only generator in town at that time was the generator at the community center. So we did that for two nights, and it worked great. And I would say 98% of the people abided by that. And
how did they learn about that?
We put it out on social media. We put it out on the radio, the newspaper. We put it on the county website, the Morristown website. And then when we were going around town, right before that, you know, so from 8 to 10, we're telling people at 10 o'clock, either you have to be in your house, or if you can't stay in your house, you have to go somewhere else. If you need a place to stay, we have the community center open. We brought cots over from our sheriff's office and had them there. And people were like, okay, I understand, you know. And so they got as much done as they could before 10 o'clock. They wanted to get tarps on things and, you know, try to prevent more damage. And I know we did the next morning have some showers come through. Fortunately, they were kind of light. But and then at 6:30, we started allowing people only in if they were the owners or if they were contractors helping the owners to do work. Otherwise, if you came in, you had to come in on foot. We weren't allowing any traffic because we were running into issues with all these cars plugging up a street. And we're like, if we got an emergency here, we can't get through.
Yep.
So we stationed four deputies in the town of Morristown that night to keep, you know, at peace and make sure that nobody lost anything. And it worked, like I said, it worked great. People listened to that. And, you know, that's something we've never had to do before.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking Thursday night, total darkness in mm-hmm. our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, how you and I see on television
right.
after a storm like that in major cities,
right.
there's looting going on.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, nothing happened to downtowns, I don't think. And looting would just shock me,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But did you, when you were doing, seeing the damage in Morristown and in Faribault at the mm-hmm. airport in particular, you had four guys that were north of you that were working the Northfield area.
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear about the Malika farm?
Yes.
And how it took some silos,
yep.
not totally.
Yep.
But
I talked to my staff via the phone, and then I said, you know, give me an update of what you got and for damages and injuries and everything. And it was always a good thing. It was like, no injuries reported, no injuries
yep.
reported,
yep.
you know. And but then they you know, they said, well, Red Barn Farms is gone. Fargay's Farms took a big hit. There's power lines down. There's sheds down all along 90th Street and 100th Street. You know, I got a call. I can't remember if Monty called me or I called him. But
the Northfield Police Chief.
The Northfield Police Chief. And he said, I'm okay. Lost my barn, but the house looks pretty good. And we're all safe. That's the main thing. But he says, my neighborhood really took a hit here, Troy. And I said, well, I'll be there, you know, soon. And I made it the next morning. I went home and slept for 2 hours, came back, and then I worked, you know, probably from 4:30 a.m. and probably got home at midnight, you know, on Friday, Saturday morning, and back in at 6 a.m. on Saturday. And
did you have power at your house?
I did not have power for 26 hours. So,
okay.
My wife ended up emptying the freezer and taking stuff to her grandparents that had power on the other side of Faribault, and we're able to salvage that. And we really didn't lose much there. My chest freezer did a decent job, and I didn't lose any of the beef or pork that I had down there. And so very lucky. But, you know, so my backyard, I had, like I said, three trees down. Less than a half a block away from me, behind the houses behind me, I think that's where that twister went through, because every tree is down on houses, on vehicles.
Yeah, facing every which way.
Yeah, and it was just crazy. And yet my house, I lost three trees, and the neighbors directly across the street from me had two branches down, you know. And
amazing.
So we were very lucky, and you know, I really feel for everybody that lost, you know, property. And the thing, and I know people don't always like to hear it, but property can be replaced, but lives can't.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest blessing, I think, that came out of this, is people did not get hurt.
Didn't even hear of any animals.
Yeah, we're still working on it, but I know that there were some reports of livestock that were killed. I know, you know, a few people lost a horse or a goat and things like that. I think there was some, possibly some turkeys that were killed, as well as hogs and other livestock. So that's another thing. That's a good segue for us, Wayne, because we need to get the reports of what you had for damages. And it doesn't matter if you live in Northfield or outside of Northfield, anywhere in Rice County, we have a non-emergency storm hotline that we set up, and it's 1-833-643-7423. And we need to know what you had for damages. We went out along with the Red Cross to try to do some assessments, but in case we missed you, and we'd like you to call and tell us what you have for damages and then what you have for needs. Do you need help with tree cleanup, or do you need help with cleanup of, you know, debris in your yard, whatever that you can't do? Because we have professional volunteers, and we may be asking for, you know, citizens to help coming up. But we already have professional chainsaw, I think they're called sawyers, possibly. I think that's the word I heard they call themselves, but they'll come in and cut up trees and help with those kind of things, especially if you're elderly and you can't operate a chainsaw. And I know that I said this to many people. I said, be careful with those chainsaws. You're under a lot of stress. You're tired. Things are laying on houses and cars and things like that. They don't always fall the way they do. Be careful. And, you know, we did have one person in Morristown that cut their leg. They are recovering, and they're going to make it, but they had a lot of stitches in their leg because of that chainsaw incident. So please call this Rice County non-emergency storm line and let us know what your needs are so we can get the help to you. And again, we need to record the damages that are out
there.
Well,
is that for FEMA help or government help?
Well, yes, so right now, this is Rice County local help, what we can provide with the volunteers that we have. We hope that we'll hit the number, and I don't know what that number is, but to get state assistance, I think I heard the number for federal assistance would be $7 million. So I don't know if we're going to hit that, but I think that we will hit the number to get state assistance. Right now, we've had 221 homes, businesses, or farmsteads that have been affected countywide that have been reported to us. I think there's more out there that people either we haven't been able to get to, or they haven't called us to report it. So if you have any damages, if it's even trees down, damages to your cars, those kind of things, we need to record that so we can put this on the list, and then the state can look at it. And if we get to that threshold for federal assistance, that will help us as well. But, you know, I think we're going to have some obvious crop loss out there as well. The fields, when I saw the fields from above, I went up in the State Patrol helicopter on Sunday, and we surveyed the county from the south to the north, and to see the amount of corn that's down, and, you know, and then you have debris in the middle of bean fields and things like that. And, you know, farmers are like, what's that insulation going to do? I don't want to be putting that in with the beans or things like that. So if there's damages there, we need to record that as well.
Why don't we take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get that number again and
you
keep
bet.
It on hand. Okay?
Sounds great.
My guest this morning is Troy Donahue. Has anyone ever said that before?
Just you, Wayne.
Okay. I have, haven't I? Troy Dunn, the Rice County Sheriff, is with me this morning here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. That isn't what I wanted to hear right now, so I'm going to stop that and go to what I want to hear. The computer system is working. It's my fault.
This is Matt Hillman, superintendent of the Northfield Public Schools. Research shows tremendous long-term benefits for students who access high-quality preschool. Our community also expects common-sense solutions to enhance the security of our schools. The Northfield School District Bond Referendum aims to address both of these important points. Please visit the district website at northfieldschools.org to learn more and make sure to vote on November 6th. We all want our children to have a strong start and to attend secure schools.
Prepared and paid for by Northfield Public Schools.
You thought you could make a midnight run to the store for a loaf of bread. What you got was a minor fender bender instead. I'm State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell in Northfield, and I know that accidents can happen anytime. That's why we give you 24-hour good neighbor service, so night or day, help is just a phone call away. For your insurance and financial needs, phone me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And that was Mark Quinnell, and of course I knew his late father, Hunts Quinnell. He was one of our very first advertisers some almost 50 years ago. Once again, you're listening to KYMN Radio. We're 1080 on your AM dial, 50 years on Thursday, and we are at 95.1, the one on FM. My guest this morning is Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn, and we're talking about the damage that was done in Rice County during that storm that went through on Thursday night. Unbelievable. Troy, by the way, did you get a chance to come up to my neighborhood at all?
Yes, yes.
Did you drive around?
It was crazy, and the other funny thing, I mean, if you want to find some humor, we had vehicles, getting flat tires, and I said, I can't believe I don't want to jinx myself, but I can't believe I haven't got a flat tire with all of the debris all over the roads, and we're driving, over them, and it was just crazy, and I didn't get a flat tire. And I said, especially when I'm out east of Northfield in no man's land, some of these back roads, but yeah, came up through Cannon City, and then...
did they get hit?
Just the north edge of it, okay. I would say. And then, you could really see where it was, most destructive, and seeing the trees twisted, and, instead of just tipped over one way, you're seeing things twisted, and the corn going different directions. So that's what led me to believe, this was definitely a tornado, and... So preliminarily, the National Weather Service reported 6 tornado touchdowns or separate tornadoes in Rice County in this weather event. And, to
wow.
See that many, I mean, one's a lot, but to have that is really crazy. And we did declare a state of emergency in the county the following morning on Friday. Had the county board chair come in, and our county administrator, Sarah Folstead, was in the EOC. She came, she had to get escorted down because she couldn't even get back to the office because of all the weather damage and things like that. So we ended up picking her up and escorting her to the county sheriff's office and opened up our EOC, and she worked tirelessly there with Jennifer Hauer-Schmitz, our emergency management director, as well as other department heads and department staff from planning and zoning and from the assessor's office and from public health. And so I do not want to forget to thank everybody, especially in the Rice County staff and our partners in Northfield and Faribault and Morristown for all of the great work that they did. And, we didn't have any injuries of our staff, and it was just a phenomenal work. And the other thing that really amazed me, Wayne, is the neighbors helping neighbors here. Yeah. People just came out and helped one another. And, I keep reflecting back to Morristown, but that's where I was right after this event, immediately after. And I saw the destruction that was there and people being there to help. And then, the days following, people that lost their homes, instead of, worrying about their losses and everything else, the people that actually lost their homes are helping their friends across the streets put things back together, get stuff out of their house, get it to another friend or relative's house so they didn't lose their food because of the power being out. And it was just an amazing thing. And there's a person out on Roberts Lake Boulevard just outside of Faribault that since Friday has a sign out front that says, "Free food for anyone, stop in." Responders, whoever it may be, please come in. And I heard about that, and I'd seen the sign and driven by it a few times, and I actually stopped there yesterday. And her name was Noelle Miller. And I said, "Thank you for doing this. This is, I said, you're doing this purely out of, generosity to others." And I gave her a Rice County Challenge coin, and she started to cry. And I said, "It's not much, but," I said, "this is, you stepped up, in a time of need, and you didn't have to do this." And I presented her with that just as a small token. And she hugged me. All of her workers are hugging me. And I'm like, "Well, you don't need to thank me. You guys are the ones that did this and are there for all of these." I mean, they've had firefighters, EMS, utility workers, and, you know, XL, I said they had people from all over Minnesota and South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin coming in and helping. And so you've got, you know, they're not familiar with the area, and they see this sign that says free food stop in, and they're stopping in, and they're, you know, cookies and hot dogs and hamburgers and all of this stuff. And it was just purely, you know, nobody asked them to do it. And so those stories are the ones that need to be told too, and how people are there for one another. And I was very proud to see our citizens being there for one another. And still today, there's people working. Roberts Lake is another hard hit area, and not say that it's, you know, worse than it was up here by Northfield, but Roberts Lake is surrounded by homes and cabins, and it's like you set a bomb off and it just pushed those trees all along the lake shores, down on boats, down on houses, down on garages, vehicles. I saw two cranes out there yesterday, because some of those trees are that large, they can't remove them. They have to bring in a crane to take them off these people's houses. But there's neighbors helping neighbors, school kids coming in from Faribault and Morristown and Chaddock, and they're helping. And I think that I know there was talk, at least talking to the mayor yesterday, of seeing if we could get some St. Olaf and Carleton students to help the surrounding areas as well, because there's a lot of work and a lot of damage around the outskirts of Northfield. Northfield was pretty lucky, the city of, to not have been directly hit. So there's need for these volunteers, and so we'll continue to try to staff, you know, our EOC and our hotline, so that we can get people the help they need. Again, that number is 1-833-643-7423. And if you continue to watch our county website and our Facebook pages, and we'll update if we're going to do a collective volunteer. We're going to ask community members maybe to come in, possibly this weekend if we have the need for it. So continue to monitor that. Otherwise, you can contact that number, and they can help you out.
And we'll give that number again. Troy Dunn is my guest, Sheriff of Rice County. And during our conversation, we got a call. The Meisler twins, now they're two young ladies in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Who were little tiny girls.
Okay.
And now they're women. And they took over our neighborhood and organized everything. And we had water. We had coffee. We had donuts. We had homemade soup. We had brownies.
That is great.
I mean, what do you need? And they even dropped off generators.
Really?
Yeah. You'd come into your driveway after making a run. That was my job. I was the bathroom guy.
Okay.
I took all the volunteers on Saturday into town to Target to use the bathroom.
Okay.
Because I couldn't do much else.
Sure.
And anyhow, you get back and there's a generator sitting in your driveway, water sitting in your driveway. Somebody comes in the backyard Saturday night or Thursday night, maybe it was Friday, with pizzas from Domino's, doing a chicken from the quarterback club. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Now, these young girls are out of college now. The Meisler twins and Northfield Shares have created a document to connect those who need help with those offering help.
Okay.
And they have a link on our Facebook page. We have a link on our Facebook page. Oh, that would be, I think Terry means ours, KYMN Radio.
KYMN, yep.
Yeah. Okay. So anyhow, is this the information that you'll need then in the future?
Yep. And the mayor gave me the name of Mike Krantz from Northfield Share as well, to put in touch with our county EMS or Emergency Management Director. So we will be working with them as well to try to assist with volunteers. And the thing is with, you know, we don't want people just self-dispatching, we call it, to a scene and say, hey, what can I do to help? You know, we want to know If there's a specific thing that you're good at or you can help with, and then we can, you know, put you in that area to fulfill the needs that are being requested by us. And then we also have accountability because we check you in, we check you out, so we know that you're safe. Because if you go in and say, well, I'm going to help so-and-so out here on Cannon City Boulevard take some trees down, and then what if something happens there and there's just one or two people there and they're both affected and we don't know to come and check on you or where you're working. So that's why working through with emergency management and having a structured volunteer group, that way we can get you to and from areas. Again, the Salvation Army and Red Cross are going to be assisting with food. They have been, and I know we've had plenty of people, like you said, bringing over coffee and cookies and donuts and different things to help. This way we know that you're well taken care of, and we're going to get you to and from, checked in, checked out, and for everybody's safety, that's the best way to do it. So if you can work through our emergency management to do that, and through the Northfield Shares as well, that mm-hmm. would be great. So stay tuned, continue to watch not only the Rice County website, but the City of Northfield website for opportunities where you might be able to help as well.
Well, I got a huge tree down in my backyard, and my daughter has a friend with a chainsaw, and he was able to get all the limbs. Mm-hmm. But I got this huge tree. I know that Rick Risser from the Transden Bank,
okay.
They were going around early Friday morning with hot coffee and donuts, which was terrific.
Yes.
But anyhow, his house really got nailed, and he had to have a crane come in to get the big logs.
Right.
And the humor in the whole thing is, folks, if you need free firewood, there's plenty in our neighborhood, and the ditches are full.
Yeah.
But I got to get somebody to tell me how to get that big, huge tree.
Yep.
We got the branches and all that, but it's like long, heavy, and thick, and I can't do anything about it.
Something you can do with just a tractor and a front-end loader, right?
Well, if you cut it in thirds, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, because my daughter clears a path to it.
Yeah.
Before there were trees there, they're gone.
Right.
So you can get at it. So that's my little plea.
Okay.
All right.
Well, and the other thing that I want people to be cautious about is, so you have a lot of people, this is bigger than our local contractors can handle in the immediate, you know, you want something done right now, especially probably tree removal, and electricians seem to be the two highest requested things right now. And so we've got a lot of vendors that are in, excuse me, from out of Rice County area. And some of them have great equipment. Some of them might have just thrown some things together and made a little cardboard placard for their truck, and now all of a sudden they're a tree service. And make sure that before you sign any of these contracts, you ask them, what is this including cutting the trees down and removing them? You know, there's been people that have said, yep, I got a bid for $9,000 to take those trees down and out of here. They thought it was $9,000 just to cut the tree down, and then they didn't haul it away. And
now one tree?
That's
$9,000?
That's what their bid was. And so I just ask people to make sure that you have an insured and bonded company that's working for you. Be cautious not to, you know, they might require some payment up front. And people have been scammed because they pay up front, and then they said, okay, somebody will be here later, and then they never come back. And they are not a real tree service, and so they just scammed you out of money. It's very sad. It's very unfortunate. But so be cautious. Make sure you ask them to show that they're insured and bonded. And then contact that company to make sure it's legit. It's not just something they threw down on a printer and ran, you know, 20 copies and things. There's great services out there. And then, again, contact your insurance companies and ask them what amount of this is going to be covered. Because if you have a $20,000 bill for tree removal and you're expecting it's going to be covered by homeowners, and then they say, did it fall on your house? Did it fall on your car? Did it block your driveway? Nope. Well, then none of it's covered. And now you're stuck with a $20,000 bill.
Gee whiz. You know what I noticed? I left town Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, gas was $2.69.
Mm-hmm.
And the prices here went up to $2.84.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I go, I wonder where that is, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's amazing, as you said, all the cooperation that we're getting from officials. And what does EOC mean exactly?
Emergency Operations Center.
Okay.
So, so Rice County has an EOC, Northfield has an EOC, Faribault has an EOC, Morristown has an EOC, Lonsdale has an EOC, I believe, as well. So if you have something in that area, you might open up this Emergency Operations Center to kind of run things. It's basically the same thing that we're doing on the street at any incident, if it's a car crash or if it's a fire or something like that. You have a command structure set up there at the scene. But if it's a bigger thing where it takes up like a tornado, a portion of your town, you need more resources, it gets a lot bigger. You put people in command positions from all of the entities, so it could be police and fire, EMS, public works, administration, you know, and then you set up this EOC.
Is that that mobile unit you have?
Well, and we have a mobile unit, so we can set it up a mobile EOC if we want. We did have our mobile unit in Morristown for the first 16 hours, and then we transferred it over to Faribault the next day when they were dealing with their stuff out towards the airport. They used it out there. But we kept our EOC, we opened it up, and we kept it open for approximately 72 hours at the sheriff's office. And so we had our emergency manager in there. We had Sarah Folstead, our county administrator, in there. And Sarah kind of took the role as the head of the administration and as the PIO, or the public information officer. So I would send her information, say, these roads are blocked. This is what we're going to do with the curfew. I would send her all that stuff. She would get it on the websites, to the press, to the media, all of that stuff. So we were getting the messages out. I had numerous people asking, can you do a, you know, on camera interview or something like that? I said, we're really busy. How about I give you, if you want something at 10 o'clock, I'll do something at Morristown. If you want something in Faribault, we'll do it at midnight. And so we had maybe one or two show up, and then we got the information out in a 5-minute time period, and it's nice and clean versus saying, oh, yeah, just, you know, drive over here. I'm over here. I'm over here. We're giving a consistent message out to the citizens and to the community and to the media. It worked great, you know, and when this is all said and done, we'll sit down and we'll say, what did we do right? What can we do better next time? And debrief this and learn from, you know, some mistakes. Well, you know, we have a little board going of these are our needs. What, you know, let's talk about this later. So, you know, it's a great thing. Our emergency management program, the training, a lot of times people kind of roll their eyes and say, oh, I have to go to another one of those trainings, and you learn about, you know, this and that, but it really makes a difference. You know, we're hearing the thank yous now from the citizens. And I'm sure there's people out there that say, I want to see this, or that you could have done this better, and we need to hear those things.
I want to take a brief 2-minute break, okay, and then we'll come back and wrap it up and give out those telephone numbers again, all right?
All right.
All right.
Good.
Troy Dunn is my guest here this morning on KYMN Radio from Northfield, Minnesota. We're talking about the relief available to those of you affected by the tornadoes.
This is Ben Martig, City Administrator for the City of Northfield. Did you know that if you decide to vote yes on the Civic Center and Parks and Recreation Improvement Referendum on November 6th, up to $3 million or more is expected to be generated to support parks, trails, and recreational facilities in Northfield and Dundas. Northfield and Dundas will vote to approve a half-cent local option sales tax that is expected to generate $10 million or more over 20 years. There are many things on the November 6th ballot. This local issue matters to all of us. Please visit the City of Northfield at ci.northfield.mn.us for more information. Be informed and vote on November 6th.
This informational message has been provided by the City of Northfield.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago. and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hello, this is Josh Kerr. My wife and I received bad news in 2006 when I was diagnosed with cancer. In addition to my growing health concerns, medical bills were piling up. I beat cancer, but I learned the struggles families face with the skyrocketing cost of health care. I'm running to be your state representative to be a voice at the Capitol who will fight for affordable health care. I will work across the aisle to lower costs and assure you are able to keep your doctor. November 6th, vote for me, Josh Gare, to be your next state representative.
Paid for by Friends of Josh Gare.
Since 1876, Wanamingo Mutual Insurance Agency has